One of the things that Pastor Doug has asked me is, because there's so many new people in the church, for some of you this is a little of a repeat, but just to kind of know who the Pregnancy Resource Connection is. And we are a Christian ministry, and we're located in Granby behind was the bike shop, then the gun shop, and now it's the pawn shop. So it's a little red brick building between Cal Spa. There's a little driveway, and we're in this little two-bedroom brown house in the back. God has blessed us tremendously. At one time, many years ago, I was given an award by Dr. Dobson as having the center with the littlest budget. Out of 800 centers, I mean, it was quite an honor. That's not the case now, and I wanted to report that just this last week, PRC received a $20,000 gift from a family from out of state. So it just, it's amazing. So we have to find other ways to be famous now. Smallest budget doesn't work anymore. So, you know, we face a culture of death, and the kids and the young people that come into PRC, they don't understand that they were created in God's image. They've never heard Psalms 139. And so we have to speak the truth of love to them. I want to go ahead and read. I was in the church school this last week. Oh, I was so blessed. I got really choked up when I came into chapel because all of the kids on this side and all the older kids over here, I looked at them, I thought, I have known so many of you from the womb. It just really took me back, you know, that these kids are growing up around us. And Psalms 139, verse 13, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet of them were none of them." A lot of the people that we talk to have never heard that. And pregnancies occur in situations that aren't real pretty. And I would just lie to you to say that every time a pregnancy test comes up positive, I'm going, woohoo, this is going to be good. It is really tough situations, and that is where, as Christians, we have to stand on God's word. We have to know that his word is true. I think of our Lord Jesus. I don't think in our day that a lot of us would have embraced the circumstances around Jesus' conception. Young, unmarried woman, not having a place for the baby, no crib, no baby room already. No blankets. You know, there are tough situations, but we have to know what is right and is true and know that God is involved. And none of these little babies are mistakes. You know, the problems aren't with the babies. It's with us adults. The babies are not the problem. So to share with you what Pregnancy Resource Connection does, we do want to hopefully prevent some of these pregnancies. So we go into the high schools, we go into the middle schools, we go into Awanas, we go wherever people will let us come speak, and we talk to kids about choices that they're making. And I've been going into our local public high school for 12 years now, and it is an incredible thing to go in and to tell these kids how special they are and that God has a plan for their life. And it's not the way that they're going, most likely. This week, I got to go into our church school high school. And I kind of knew a day before, and I was like, oh, Lord, what do I say to these guys? They've heard it, you know. I know all of them. I know their parents. I know that they've heard it. What do you want me to tell them? And it was very intense because I made them think about, if they stepped over the line, and each one of us are just one decision away from that, we all, and if they stepped over on the line and they got pregnant, what would they do? Would they run to their parents? Would they run to the church? Because I read in my training and statistics is that girls that are in Christian homes are as likely, if not higher, to still have abortions because there's so much shame. You know, in the world, you talk about your abortion. It's not a big deal. In the church, we don't talk about it because it's really hard. And so I really challenged these kids, and I said, don't run. Don't run from the church. Don't run from your parents. Run to them. Run to them. And we need to be a church that is ready to grab them when they come running to us, because there will be young girls and men in our church that will fall, and we need to embrace them so that they don't run to the abortion clinic instead. So it was very neat to talk to the church school kids. I got to take it a lot further than I get to in the public school. So it was a blessing. So prevention and secondary renewed virginity. You know, we go in and talk to them and say, okay, you've messed up. And it's not what you thought. It's not as great as you thought. You're looking at some of this information. You're saying, you know, this isn't that smart of a deal, what I'm doing. Guess what? You don't have to keep having sex. And very few of them hear that. And that they can renew their virginity. They can stop and they can wait again. You know, it's only the heart that changes, though. We can give lots of information. Unfortunately, all those kids in the high school don't always hear what we say. And then they end up in our office, which I'm glad they come. And the second part of our ministry, we have prevention. And then we have intervention. And that is where we are intervening in a life that is just, they cannot see any other way out but abortion. They don't know what's inside of them. They've never heard Psalms 139. And we do fetal development with them, which is just one of my favorite things. And Pastor Doug, when he talks later, it's so neat now. Science is telling us what we already knew that Scripture told us. It's life. And when you look at it, there's no denying it. So we're going to go ahead. I have a heart. I'm still this PowerPoint stuff. I always feel like I got to look. But 5 weeks, a little quarter. Look at that. I asked the kids at the church school, do you think you're worth more than a quarter? They're like, yeah. So 5 weeks. Oh, my goodness. 6 weeks. 21 days after conception, there's a heartbeat. That's before a woman even misses her first menstrual period. She doesn't even know she's pregnant. And there's a heartbeat. 40 days after, there's brain waves. And then, of course, the little precious feet, you know, that you see, and we have a whole bunch out there, is 12 weeks after conception. And these little feet have fingerprints and footprints. And they don't change. And we all know we all have a set of fingerprints that nobody else in the world has. So it's just amazing. 10 weeks, there's those little baby's feet. 12 weeks is the time that most abortions occur, is at 10 weeks. And I have little baby Hope with me. She's 12 weeks. And I like to carry little baby Hope with me. And this is the actual size of a little baby at 12 weeks. And at this point, first trimester, all the organs, the brain, everything, the lungs, are there. They're there. They just have to develop more. But they're there. Nothing new comes up after this point. It's all there. So this is a very powerful tool to teach women, but of course it's not the only tool, because we know that the heart has to be changed. And so that is why being a Christian ministry is so important, because we have to pray that women's hearts will be changed and daddy's hearts will be changed. So when we are pregnant, you know, what? There's not a lot of choices after that. Can you guys tell me what you think your choices would be once you're pregnant? Go ahead, just yell them out. Pardon? Keeping it, which we call it parenting. We're going to parent our baby, okay? Adoption, which is allowing someone else to parent your baby. Or abort your baby. There's not any easy decision. After that pregnancy test comes up positive, it's like easy is gone. It's very difficult. And so we go through and we talk about parenting and we try to get them prepared for parenting and we do these classes. Matter of fact, we have high schoolers that are pregnant that come into our office once a week and do this curriculum that we do, and they're getting high school health credits for it, you know. So we're trying to prepare these young girls to parent. But it is hard to single parent. And it's kind of like you don't just keep this little baby. Okay, I'm going to just put it right here in my pocket, and I'm going to go to school, I'm going to go on dates, you know, I'm going to just do what I do and keep this little baby. Most of us know that that's not, and it's very hard. And so we try to help her to parent. The other is adoption, and, you know, we focus on if you're not ready to parent your baby, please allow someone else to parent your baby. And we've had some incredible things the last few years of girls choosing adoption and have just had amazing, amazing things. And we have internationally gone into all the world. That little baby's birth mom was from Zambia. And we've had babies from girls from Brazil, and so we have actually gone into the world, or God's brought the world to us, and just wonderful. And those are my three, which I know you see them every year, but they're mine. And they came to us by adoption, and I can't imagine our lives without our children. So adoption is an incredible thing. Is it hard? Yeah, it's very, very hard. It's a hard choice, but it's a good choice for some girls. And then, of course, there's abortion. And that is the tough one. And we have a ministry of reconciliation to women that have had abortion. We do educate girls when they come into the office about abortion, because when they go to the abortion clinic, and if any of you have had an abortion, you will know this. They're not going to tell you your baby has a heartbeat. They're not going to show you your baby. When they do an ultrasound, they will turn the screen away and not let you see your baby because it's a baby. And so we have to let these women know what is going to happen if they choose to have an abortion. And some days at PRC, we're dancing. I mean, you're just thinking this is the best thing in the world. And then there are other days you walk out of there crying because it's very difficult. And for women that have had abortions, we want to bring the ministry of reconciliation to them. And so we have a post-abortion Bible study. And I can tell you the women in that study are not the teenagers. They are women in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s. And some of them have never told a soul they've had an abortion. They are Christians. God has used them greatly, is using them greatly, but there is a little place inside of them that they're saying, He can't really forgive me, and I can't tell the people, the body of Christ around me, because they won't love me anymore. And it's a lie from Satan. And so when these women come to the Bible study and they are able to openly say, I did this, and they are able to work through that pain, and they can grieve for that child that they grieve silently and alone, secretively, all the time, they can now actually acknowledge that there was this child, and I chose to take its life, and God has forgiven me, and I will see my baby again in heaven. And it's amazing to see the forgiveness and the life. It's like that little hold that Satan has in your life is broken, And so I just encourage anyone, you maybe was the guy that paid for the abortion. You maybe was the guy that dropped her off at the clinic and came back 2 hours later. You maybe was the guy that didn't want her to have an abortion and there wasn't a thing you could do about it and your heart grieves. Abortion affects people, everybody. It's like a ripple effect. It doesn't just stay right in one place. And it's only through Christ that we know that we can choose not to do those things. And so the Ministry of Reconciliation, and I want to read out of Jeremiah, just such a beautiful, beautiful verse. And it says, I will turn you, Jeremiah 31, verse 13. I'm actually going to go down. Then shall the young woman rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. And if you go down to verse 15, I just think this is incredible. Thus says the Lord, the voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. God knows. He knows the mourning that women go in. And inside, whether a woman is a Christian or not a Christian, part of them dies when they have an abortion because they're created to protect that which is inside them. And when that goes against it, it is just devastating. So, you know, we're doing everything God gives us the ability to, prevention, intervention, reconciliation. And the next great step that we're going towards, and that $20,000 is really going to help us move a little closer, is to go medical. We want to have an ultrasound machine in our office. And we want to be able to show that mom and that dad their baby in ultrasound. And eventually we would like to do sexually transmitted disease testing. We're getting a lot of guys and gals wandering in our office wanting STD testing. And what an opportunity to be able to do that and then to be able to talk to them about their lifestyle and being able to change that lifestyle. So it is very exciting, and we thank this church so much for all your prayers and all your support, for all the volunteers that come from here, board members that come from here, just spiritually feeding me and keeping me renewed. This last year has been a very difficult year for me with continuing on with PRC, and I feel like God has refreshing me and bringing me to a place where I'm kind of ready to go. I've been blessed to do this for 12 years, and I'm ready to go for the long haul again, so I appreciate everybody here, and we have a booth in the back, and if you're interested in any of our services, please come, and Pastor Doug is going to bring an incredible word, and I just thank you guys.
Now, as June said, they're in Granby. If you haven't been by PRC, go by the office, say hello, see what they are, what they're doing, so we can continue to pray for them. Also, if you'd like to help with anything, there's answering phones, there's office work there. And if you'd like to do any counseling, you know, see June about that. You do counseling training, too. So it's just a powerful, powerful ministry. Some people move to Grand County because they say, oh, we want to get out of the city, and we want to get into a nice rural community where they don't have the problems that you have in the city. Guess what? We have tremendous drug problem up here, and alcoholism, and among the teenagers, and sexually transmitted diseases, and everything you're going to find anywhere, because people are people wherever you go. And that's a fact. We are very sensitive, because this is a difficult Sunday for many people. If you've had an abortion or participated in having an abortion, we're extremely sensitive to that. But we also feel it's very important to know the facts and to be able to pass on to our children and the next generation what the truth is, because they're growing up in a different world. Roe v. Wade was 1973. We're going to be looking into a couple of things. What I'd like to do this morning in just a few minutes is to equip you with some thoughts and some scriptures so that when these issues come up, we can dialogue with people and share with them the good news of Christ and the specialness of being made in the image of God. So turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Would you please, as we go into God's Word this morning? And by the way, too, God, in all of His sovereign power and His redemptive power, uses, aren't you glad, He can use our deepest regrets, our deepest griefs, our deepest sin. Once we understand His forgiveness, once we understand His life and what Jesus did on the cross, He can use those areas that were once so dark and so secret to be avenues of ministry of hope and life to others. Because that gives us a tremendous empathy when we're ministering to others. Someone who's gone through an abortion and come through the victory side of knowing God's forgiveness can say more to a person with their arm around them, saying, I understand your feelings right now, than a pastor could in 10,000 sessions. So we need the body of Christ. All things work together for good, right? For those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And that's the greatness of Almighty God. He wastes nothing. Many of us are embarrassed about our past. Many of us have made very foolish choices. In fact, the psalm writer says, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. Because we make foolish choices when we're young. But praise God, God can even use that. He makes beauty out of ashes. Amen? Isn't He great? Here, we believe as Christians in the sacredness of life. We believe life is sacred because God Almighty is sacred and He is the giver of life. In Acts chapter 17, Paul was talking to the Athenians who were extremely humanistic. These were the philosophers of the day. These are the men that relied on reason rather than anything that any God would say. Do you think men are doing that today? Yeah. So here's what Paul said, verse 24. The God who made the world, and everything in it, He was not, by the way, intimidated by these philosophers who did not believe that God created everything. They didn't believe in God. But that did not intimidate Paul. He spoke the truth. The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything. Since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Who gives to all mankind life and breath and everything? God Almighty, God Himself. And Father, take us through the truth of Your Word today, and by Your Holy Spirit, guide us into all the truth that You have for us today. Thank You for this time in Jesus' name, Lord, and for Your presence. Amen. The real debate today, I feel, and many others feel, is not, should a woman have a choice? I don't think that is the issue today. I think the real issue today is the unborn human? I think that's the bottom line. Not, should anybody have a choice? Is the unborn human? Okay? I want to talk about that a little bit. Now, everybody holds a certain degree of a sanctity of life. We may not think about it, but we all hold a certain degree. Let's say a son comes up to you and says, Dad, can I kill this? What would be your question? What is it? Right. Is it a mosquito that's biting me? Yes. Smack the mosquito. But if he says the neighbor's dog, we would say, no. No. You can't kill the neighbor's dog just because you don't like the neighbor's dog. And certainly not the neighbor's son because you don't like him, right? You don't go and blow him away because you think that he could be potentially dangerous to you, or he might affect your life in some adverse way, or just for convenience because you don't like him. You don't blow away a human being, right? Why? Because he's a human being. And life is sacred. Everybody has a degree of a sanctity of life. Some will kill things, others won't. But we all have a certain degree that life is sacred, whether we think about it or not. We do not kill human beings for convenience nor for potential danger. We don't kill them because life is sacred. And most people have that standard within them. As Christians, we know that the unborn is a human being. Now, how do we know that? Well, we believe that God Almighty is the giver of life. And there are several places in Scripture where God identifies what's going on in the womb. So we can know that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Go back in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, pick one up in the pew in front of you so you can follow us along. We are looking at the owner's manual here. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. This is read oftentimes around Christmas time. It is not a Christmas passage. It's the Bible, but it's read oftentimes. And it says here in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1, it says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.'" Notice it doesn't say, "the fetal tissue in my womb leaped for joy." The baby. In the Greek, that word is brephos. And the Greek word brephos is used many different times in the Bible. Always, always with respect to a human being. Whether it's in the womb, brephos is also used for an infant child out of the womb. And it's also used for a child that's a little bit bigger than an infant child. Like a toddler. And then there's three other Greek words, paidon and others, that talk about more of an elementary child, and then a young man, and then an adult. There are different Greek words for each of those stages of life. But brephos is always a human being, whether in the womb or out of the womb. The baby leapt within her. So we have an insight into what's going on. That is a human being with inside, and we believe that. That God created that. When God created all of the creatures, He said that they were to reproduce after their kind, right? So when a dog is pregnant, what is going to be born 100% of the time? A dog. That's right. If an elephant is pregnant, what's going to be born 100% of the time? And when a woman is pregnant, what's going to be born 100% of the time? A human being. We produce after our kind, and that will never change. That will never change. As elders, we went a couple years ago to Summit Ministries Conference in Manitou Springs. And there was a guy there by the name of Scott Klusendorf, who had a powerful message on abortion and what are the arguments today. What are the arguments? And he had 4 points that I want to give you this morning as far as dialoguing with people. And these points address the basic arguments as why people feel abortion is okay. All right. And when abortion was first legalized in 1973, if you'll remember, those of us who were around, you could only abort a baby back then in the first trimester. How many remember that? Only in the first trimester. Why? What was the argument? Because they said, up until the first trimester, it's still fetal tissue, but then it becomes more of a human. Then, after the years went by, into the late 70s, early 80s, they said, no, you can abort a baby up through the second trimester. Because it's not really a person until it gets to that point. And then, I don't know when it was, when we had partial abortion, about 10, 12 years ago. I know President Clinton signed that in to executive law. But now, then, you could have legally a partial birth abortions, which still take place in Colorado, in Boulder right now. They could do partial birth abortions here, legally, sanctioned by the government. That means when the baby is being born and is partially out of the mother already, the doctor can terminate that life. On what basis can he do that? The argument is it's not really a person until he comes totally out of the womb. Now, I want to go into these arguments today, okay? There's 4 of them, and I really appreciate Scott Klusendorf. In fact, we have a video. We might have one here at the church, and PRC has a video of this presentation, but I'm just going to give you a thumbnail sketch here. Number one, the argument is size. The pro-abortionists will say the size of the baby determines when it's a person and when it's not. When it grows to a certain size. That's why abortions were legalized in the first trimester. But after the baby had already grown some, then they said it's not good to abort after that time. Is size a determining factor for personhood or humanness? In any area of life? Is someone who's very short less a human than someone who's big? Are dwarf people less human than average people? Are giants, 9-foot giants, less human than average people? No. In fact, they make quite a bit more money if they're with the NBA. Is size ever a determining factor in any area of life to determine whether you are more human or not, or more to be valued or not? No. Never. That is a ludicrous argument. But that is one of the arguments that are the basis of our laws today, is size. Was. Actually, that is actually gone by the wayside a little bit. The second one is level of development. Level of development. When the fetal tissue gets to a certain level of development, then we can't abort it anymore. This was the thinking. But as long as it's not to that level, it's not a human. Now, is level of development ever an indication of humanness or personhood? In any area of life. Let's say a baby is born and the lungs aren't developed yet. And does that happen? You in the medical profession here? Does that mean when that baby's born, it's not quite a human yet, so you put it in an incubator until it becomes more human? No. If it has a heart that's not fully developed, we've got open heart surgery on infants right now. We've got all the medical tools to help those whose lungs aren't formed yet. What if you have a baby that's born with a deformed arm? Maybe the arm hasn't grown yet. Does that level of development mean it's not really a human and shouldn't be treated with the sacredness as anybody else? No. You know, level of development doesn't mean anyone's more human than another in any area of life. Any area of life. In fact, some that are disabled are more productive and more special than those who aren't. We can never say level of development determines that a person's human. So when that child is growing in the womb, the level of development does not determine whether it's a person or not. It's the fact that that embryo is a person from conception. And DNA today has proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Let's say they find out that the baby is going to be deformed or disabled mentally. Oh, okay, let's go to the other end of the spectrum, euthanasia. As they start losing their functions and they become more dependent, which is our next point, we can terminate their life because they're not being productive anymore. We have to understand something in this whole area, because when we look at it rationally, we think, how can people be thinking this way? But we've got to understand it is a spiritual battle here. There is a spiritual blindness, and people who don't believe in Satan don't understand this. There is a blindness over them spiritually where they cannot even think straight. There is a tremendous war here on earth. It's a spiritual war, and we have to pray for them. How many of you were blind at one time? I was. Yeah. So level of development does not determine humanness. Number three, change of environment. This is what they're saying now with partial birth abortion. As long as the baby's in the womb, it's not really a human. Once it gets totally out of the womb and has a full change of environment, then it's human. Now, does change of environment in any area of life make you more or less a person? No. Was I less of a person when I was in the hospital with my cancer? Or when I'm being shot through a PET scan or a CAT scan? When I'm in that environment, am I less human than I am when I'm out of it? No. Does a change of environment anywhere, if you're here in church, are you more sacred than you are when you're on your job? Change of environment? No. Change of environment never determines how sacred your life is, how much of a person you are, how human you are. But the abortionists and the laws are based on the fact, partial birth abortion is, that change of environment determines whether it's a person or not. See, I really feel the issue is not choice. Is what is in the womb human? If it is, you cannot kill it. And if you say you can, then what you are promoting is if there's someone in your life that's causing an inconvenience, blow them away. Which is exactly where we're at today, right? This is where this thinking has gotten us. is where the humanistic thinking has gotten us. Life is not sacred from conception. It's not sacred anywhere. If you think someone is a potential danger, just like the baby might be a potential danger, potential to the mother, aborted. If you think someone is a potential danger, someone's going to rain on your picnic, boom, blow them away. Right? That's where that thinking leads. So there's a devaluing of life on every area, which is greatly affecting our society right now. I was just reading in Psalm 106 this morning, just spending time with the Lord, and one of the reasons why the powerful judgment of God came on the children of Israel is because they were sacrificing their sons and their daughters and shedding innocent blood. And the judgment of God came on. Do you think God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? The last area, the fourth one, is degree of dependency. Those who write the abortion laws say, as long as that baby is dependent on the mother, it's not a person. When the umbilical cord is cut and they are no longer dependent on that for their life, the degree of dependency determines personhood. Is that true in any area of life? How about someone who is dependent, like my father, for an oxygen machine right now to keep him alive? Is he less a person now at 82 than he was when he was young? When he's dependent on that? No. No. Is that little baby in the incubator less of a person than in the crib? Although they're dependent on that for support at that time in their life? No. Level of dependency doesn't fit in any area of life. So what Scott was pointing out that I really appreciated was these are absolutely ludicrous, but they are the arguments that have built the foundation of the laws that we have in our nation today. And if ever we get a chance to dialogue with anybody, we can rationally talk this through. Hopefully the light bulb will go on and they will begin to see that God is the creator. And that is a child within the womb, and we cannot tamper with that child. That is a human life. It has a right to life. That's where you get right to life years ago. And we believe in the sanctity of life. Even Christopher Reeves, who was a big spokesman for a lot of different things, he was totally supported by a breathing machine. Did that make him less a person than when he played Superman on the screen? No. So degree of level of dependency never determines whether or not your life is valuable or not. Never, in any capacity. You know what we need today? And I just taught at YWAM for 2 days last week on the fear of the Lord. Because evangelical Christians, 50% plus, over 50% of evangelical Christians will say that abortion is okay in certain circumstances. Certain circumstances. But if it's a life and it is innocent, can we take an innocent life any time in the world? No, never, never. So how can Christians say that it's okay in certain circumstances? See, we haven't thought through, and we buy into a liberal interpretation of the Bible. We step into liberalism without even thinking about it, because liberalism relies on man's reasoning rather than the absolute truth of God's word. And you can take that across any subject that you want. When we start laying aside the absolute truth of God's word, we will start living in the realm of man's reasoning. And we get into that, that's Satan's domain. That's liberal thinking, liberal theology to the max among Christians. Turn to the last verse here, Isaiah chapter 43. There's so much we could be talking about today. Isaiah 43. Oh, I know what I was saying, but talking about the fear of the Lord. If we had time, we could go back into the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, you don't have to turn there because we're not going to go into this, but you will find that the Pharaoh, trying to stop the Israelites from gaining strength in Egypt, he told the midwives to kill every child that came out of the Israeli woman's womb. If they're a boy, kill them. If it's a girl, let it live. If it's a boy, kill it. And he gave a command to all the midwives. You know what the Bible says in Exodus 1? It says, but the midwives feared God. And they didn't do it. You know what we need? We need to understand the fear of the Lord here. Because life is very sacred. And it goes on to say in Exodus chapter 1 that God saw the hearts of these midwives and it pleased him, and he blessed their lives for fearing him instead of the Pharaoh. Many pastors, I know pastors and elders whose children have had abortions, because in the church, even a leader who has a strong stand in this area, when it happens to their daughter, says, you know what, I have a strong stand, but in our situation, for the sake of the work of the Lord, we put a spiritual spin on it and everything, I think it would be better to terminate this pregnancy. And that leader steps into situational ethics, which is liberal thinking, and relativism right at that point. We have to stand on our convictions, right? Our children need to know the truth. We're pouring into the next generation. We're very big on that here. So here in Isaiah 43, we're going to close with this verse. This is what God says. But now thus says the Lord, verse 1, He who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel. Who was this? These were children of Abraham. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Many times in the scriptures we find that God had already called us before birth. He's got a plan and a purpose for our life. Knows us before we were born. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Then as we tiptoe through this passage, we won't read all of it, but just picking out a couple of phrases, it all is in the same context. Verse 4, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you, says the Lord. Verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, and whom I formed and made. God is emphasizing this all over this passage. And then in verse 18 it says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some people who've gone through the pain of abortion, they just see a wilderness, a dry desert in their lives. But God makes a way in that desert. He gives us a way for ministry. He gives us a way for life. He gives us a way for freedom because of His forgiveness. Praise God for that. And He restores us. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. That's what we're to be doing. Declaring the praise of the Lord. And this particular area that is so devastating can be one of the greatest opportunities we have to declare the greatness of God and the sacredness of life and the sanctity of life so that people can know how special they are. It has affected the suicide rate in Grand County. It has affected the violence among our kids right now. Why does Derrick Williams of the Broncos get blown away on New Year's Eve? Because there was an argument in a club. And those gang members said, not on my turf, no one talks to me that way. And they get an automatic and just riddle this car with bullets, killing him for that. This kind of thinking leads to that. When we start to devalue life, it affects everything. Who's going to be the salt and the light if it isn't us? To give glory to God, to tell the truth about the Lord. And praise God for June and PRC and all that are involved in there. Doctors from our church here are helping there too, Jeff Lipke. And it's just a real tremendous blessing to see how people have been raised up. We need to pray for the youth in this county. We have many pregnancies in this county among the high schoolers. Many. There are many abortions being taken place. But thank God, there are many lives that are being saved. I wish we had more time to show all the pictures. But praise God for that. Amen. And by the way, we never know who's in a congregation or maybe someone listening to this message by tape, but we will pray for you if you have a hidden area in your life and this has been just a devastating thing. We want to pray for you. I have prayed with many men who have become alcoholics, who are substance abusers. Some of them have turned to homosexuality because they've had abortions. They participated in abortion in their life and they couldn't rid themselves of that guilt. Praise God, He forgives our sin. And we want to minister that to you. We will pray with you today, and June will be here. The elders are here. Or if you want to catch us during the week and just to call upon the Lord for His forgiveness for your life. He wants you to be free. He whom the sun sets free is free indeed, right? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. And, oh God, we praise you for your love and your mercy and your long-suffering. If you were not a God of long-suffering, our nation would not even exist. Oh God, we praise you. We praise you for the mercy that you've had. And Lord, we know that if we continue down this path, we are ripe for judgment. Oh God, we pray for a change in the hearts of this land, a heart change of heart in the leaders of this country. Lord, we pray that you would lift this veil that is over the eyes, this spiritual blindness, oh God, that just takes away all human rationale and everything else. And Father, we just pray that that veil would be lifted, that we would turn away from the shedding of innocent blood in our country. We pray that our children would grow up to understand the sacredness of life, the sanctity of life, the truth of your word and the truth about who you are, oh God. And may we be faithful as parents to pass on to our children the wondrous works of our Lord and the truth of your word. We thank you for this, O God, that they might reach their generation. Lord, we ask you to forgive us on behalf of our nation and what we've done for the unborn children, for the elderly, in every way. And, O God, we thank you that you are a merciful God. We praise you and thank you for the forgiveness you've shown to each of us here today, Lord, because we are what we are only by your grace. Only by your grace, your love, and your mercy. So, Lord, we give you praise. And you have formed us and fashioned us to be a people who would declare your praise. And that's what we want to be. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your joy that fills our lives. Thank you for the freedom we've sung about today that we have in you to be the men and women you've called us to be used by you. Lord, our lives are valuable. They're significant. They're significant to you and in the work of the kingdom. So we give you praise for all these things this morning. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, Father. Amen. Praise God.